Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello, and welcome to, or welcome back, to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and as always, it is my pleasure to spend this time with you, and I am very grateful that you have chosen to invest some of your valuable time with me. My first question to you is about what you may have done with some information that you learned last week. What actions have you taken on something that you learned if you were with me last week? If not, that's my question to you to think about through our time together today is what piece of information can you act on that might spark a positive change in your life? I also need to apologize and explain that my guest, Lisa Molina, is unable to be with us tonight. There was a snafu on my end with the communication with her, and I've learned not to assume that a phone number is a cell number with a text. And so lesson learned from me, and I'm hopeful to bring Lisa to you in a future show where we'll be talking about parenting strategies that she uses to spend more time with the children in her life. Because to children, as I had written, time is love. And so my apologies to those of you who are here hoping to hear Lisa tonight because she's not with us. And I did not have time to change the show notes to reflect that. So I hope that you'll check back. Or stay tuned and we'll talk about some strategies that you still could use to have a more positive relationship with your children, more positive parenting experience. Because most of us, when we become parents, decide that, you know, we really do want the best for our kids. We know that from the beginning. And yet, they don't come with instruction manuals. And so for most of us, the best we do is either we try to do it differently than our parents, or we end up emulating what our parents did, which may or may not be authentic for us. And so let's play with some ideas around what can you do to improve your communication, your time, your relationships with those important children in your life. And another deep breath. Because how often during the day do you stop and actually get to breathe? And many of us who wear many hats and have many roles find ourselves like the man in the old donut, I think it was Donut Land commercial, who was going out the door early in the morning to make the donuts, and he was coming back at night, I think, to eat the donuts. And at the end of the commercial, he's meeting himself at the door. I'm going to eat the donuts, I'm going to make the donuts. And there are times where we really are exhausted, and we find ourselves coming and going and meeting ourselves. And unfortunately, the challenge is that we feel like home is our place to just let down and relax. And as a result, then I've heard it happen in my own family, but we communicate with those very important people that we love, that are most important to us. We don't give them our best communication. We forget our manners. We forget the importance of communicating truly focused on them or the communication, because we're in a hurry or we're tired or you know, something little that did not have the intention of causing us to be angry or stressed or frustrated, and yet we find ourselves reacting that way. I know I have with my 9-year-old that when I'm have multiple projects and multiple deadlines and other stresses and a long commute, and I get home and, you know, it's the homework's not done, the bath's not done, this is not done, and right now my husband is home before me. He has more time with him, with my son. And so, you know, the first thing when I walk in the door, it's, okay, we got to do the homework, we got to hear this. And I haven't even gotten my coat off yet. And it can be stressful to go through that transition. Or maybe we don't have a chance to make that transition. If we're working at home, if we are finding that we don't have the time to turn it on and or turn it off, you know, and so some strategies to make the transition, whether it's from your home office, whether it's from the sanctuary of the bathroom, to deal with the latest incident or situation with our kids. There are multiple good ways to deal with transitioning. It's important, I think, to find one, whether it's what do you do on your drive home. There's a story told, and unfortunately I don't remember from where, about a man who, as he was going home from work at night, he would stop and pause at a tree outside of his house. And in the morning, on his way to work, he would stop and pause at the same tree, often for a lot less time. And what he was doing, he said, was before he walked in to greet the most important people in his life, his family, he left the problems of the day, the things, the tasks that were undone, the stresses or challenges, he left them all hanging on the tree. And then when he went into the house, he took his best self into his family with a focus on those people. In the morning, he said, surprisingly, when he stopped at the tree to pick those things up again, there didn't seem to be quite so many. That's one transition strategy that could help you. Sometimes, again, are you listening to uplifting music? Are you uplifting books as you're traveling in your commute? Do you stop when you pull into the driveway or the garage? Or at the bus stop or the train stop before you move forward? Because there are times when we say things out of negative emotion that are very hurtful to the people that we love. And our intention is not always to be hurtful. Very rarely is that it. And the important thing is to be able to catch ourselves before those things come spewing forth from our mouth. And so, as adults, it's okay to take a time out, to regroup, to transition. Now, there are times where I really want to hear about what happened with your project at school today. First, could I change out of my work clothes and get into my relaxing clothes, and then I'll meet you in the living room and we can talk. That gives me time to decompress or to refocus. Again, as parents, most of us intend to give our best to our kids. And we just get caught in the busyness, B-U-S-Y-N-E-S-S, of our lives. And the stress. And we also, for many of us, never learned the differences between what's happening in the brains of our children and what happens in our brains as adults. There are parts of the brains that mature at different rates, and our ability to process consequences or sarcasm. It happens at different times. And so there are times maybe we wish our children were older, could at least comprehend as if they were older, when the reality is they truly are just children. And they don't understand. Excuse me. Germs have been flying around our area, maybe like yours with colds and flu. And so for children, back on track, they often just want the love, they want the attention, and if they don't get it in a positive way, from get attention for doing good things and for positive behavior, the attention that we give to the negative and the problems reinforces that behavior, which means we're more likely to see it again. I just got in the mail my copy of the book, Well Done Parenting, W-H-A-L-E, like the mammal, large mammal, the whale, Done, D-O-N-E, Parenting, P-A-R-E-N-T-I-N-G. And I'd read the book Well Done from use in giving reinforcement in the world of work. And the author had said, you know, thinking about, as he took his son to SeaWorld and realizing that how in the world these trainers got these animals to do these very complicated behaviors, and he was having challenges with his son doing simple things until he talked to them and learned about the concepts in Well Done and how to reinforce to get more of the behavior that we want. And initially with kids and with animals, it is external motivators. That they perform behaviors to get a positive reward or to avoid a negative consequence. And I know I have learned from my son through another experience, and again, regular listeners may recall when I interviewed the creator of A Deeper View about a program designed to help parents of autistic children and educators to work together to track behaviors and measure them and measure outcomes in a way that made it easier. We used the example of my mornings with my son, and as my stress and frustration rose because I had to hurry up, if I would start talking about consequences or getting upset, he would shut down and slow down. The opposite effect of what I wanted, and we got into this cycle. And I talked with the creator of A Deeper View and realized there were some benefits to some of the behaviors, like staying in bed for an extra 10 minutes under the covers. So we just adjusted to include that rather than trying to speed him up. And that he responded when he would get praise. Oh, you're doing a great job. Keep it up. Even if it was only a small piece. Or nice job getting dressed and ready, let's move on. And even further to say, if we have a good morning and we can get out the door on time, then we can have a special treat. So all of those things. And what I discovered was the days that were most frustrating and we had the most challenges were the days where I included very few positive reinforcements of behavior. And acknowledging positive performance of doing what I wanted him to do. And I had more challenges on the days when I was focusing on what he was not doing fast enough or doing the right way. And often we do that. We get ourselves into these emotional states. And it's a lesson that I still relearn. I find myself in that state of emotional hijack, as a lot of us as parents do. When we're intensely emotional, our ability to be logical and rational and solve problems goes out the window. We need to be able to handle our own emotional hijacking so that we can be calm and focused on the communication or on the time that we have with our child. In several segments, I've talked about the concept of amygdala hijacking, the amygdala being the part of our brain that processes emotion, that wants to keep us safe, and it acts like a smoke alarm, a smoke detector. And when there's intense emotion or a potential threat, perceived or real, we have all the physical reactions of increased heart rate, increased respiration or breathing, our system is revved up. We have a whole lot of chemical stuff going on in our bodies. We're unable to think as clearly. And yet, when we're in a state of being what I call emotionally hijacked, or amygdala hijack is another term that's often used, we are not able to process because blood flow is not in the front part of our brains where we're better able to be logical and rational and reason. It's in the deeper parts of our brain, what's called the limbic system. And with kids, you know, I've sometimes heard parents say, you know, what were you thinking? And I smile because they weren't thinking in the problem solving, what might be the consequences if I do this, and all the complex steps. They were totally in the moment of enjoyment of making the mud pies and getting covered with mud. They weren't thinking about, oh, I have to walk through the house or whatever, or they walk through the house to the bathroom and take a bath, which was, to them, made perfect sense. So one of the strategies to help in improving communications as a parent is to recognize when you go into amygdala hijack, when you are too intensely emotional to communicate with your child at the level where they are. And again, that timeout, that simple acknowledgement of, okay, I'm feeling very stressed about, very concerned about this because of something that happened in the past. I'm going to take a deep breath and know that right now in this moment, and you begin to talk yourself through. And as you begin to talk about acknowledging the emotions, which Dr. Candace Pert talks about, molecules of emotion, and if we don't acknowledge them, they will get our attention in another way, usually through physical problems, health problems. But when we have intense emotion, it's important that we process it and that we acknowledge it. Dr. Caroline Leaf has a wonderful strategy and explanation of what happens in our brain from when an event happens to how this whole cascade starts. And she talks about it being like a breeze through the trees in the outer part of our brain where our memories are stored. And it will pull anything that's related emotionally. If it's stronger emotions, it's going to come first. And so sometimes what a child is doing in their behavior may not be as bad or as dangerous as our response would seem to indicate. But from what is happening with that child, it may trigger a very intense emotional memory that we had, and we begin to experience that intense emotion again. And she recommends talking through, acknowledging it. You can then begin to interrupt the process. So the sooner you can recognize that you're feeling a little uneasy, you're feeling stressed, to do some self-talk about it, to make a conscious choice about a perspective or language. And I will put Dr. Leaf's information in the show notes as well. And the spelling of her name is Caroline, Caroline, and her last name is Leaf, Leaf. One of her books is Who Switched Off My Brain, which is a great resource book. And then the piece that I'm talking about with the breeze through the trees is in a video learning program. So take a breath, let it out, and know it's okay. As human beings, we make mistakes. And the good news is our kids are resilient, we are resilient, and we all can learn. So to recognize that in this situation, I need a time out before I talk to my children. In working with teenagers and talking about their parents' reactions to when they would make a mistake or when they'd stay up late, like, I wasn't even doing anything, but I got home and it was like World War III and screaming and yelling and they didn't even give me a chance to say anything. And so not being in the situation, in the moment and emotionally involved, I asked a few questions, such as, what do you think they were most concerned about? And their first response was often, well, their parents would be embarrassed if I was out drinking, or the parents would be embarrassed because, you know, other people would think they were bad parents, or, you know, the parents, their bottom line was that they were thinking their parents were more concerned about themselves. And when I offered another way to look at it and said, what do you think really they might be afraid of? What if you were in a car and you were driving that night and you were late getting home? What is a big fear they might have? And we'd work our way to, well, okay, I was in an accident. Or worse, I was killed. So they're sitting there with no information, not knowing what's going on. Now things are better with cell phones because you can call and say, I'm at so-and-so's house, I'm running late. Okay, so there's some improvement if you use the tools. But you know, if you get yourself all worked up thinking, oh my gosh, what if they're dead? What, do I call the hospital? Do I call the police? And you begin to have this emotional hijacking, amygdala hijack going on because there's danger, there's threat to your child. You get yourself emotionally charged up. When you see the child, often the first words out of your mouth are not, I love you so much, I'm glad you're safe. Or if you do say that, then we flip immediately to, and what were you thinking, and da-da-da-da-da, and we're starting then to vent all this anger and frustration. And if we can breathe and be calm and focus on and have a calm conversation, and maybe at the moment is not the time to have a conversation, maybe it's, I'm really glad you're safe. I was afraid that something terrible had happened to you. I'm glad it didn't. We're going to talk about the consequences for your being late and not calling in the morning. That allows you to calm down, allows the child to calm down. And sometimes allows them to think about, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to me? So there are things, there's information that we can learn. There are strategies that we can use to improve our communication, because truly, if we love our spouse and we love our kids, then it's important that we communicate with them in a way that lets them know that. So, if you heard something that you can use that will help you to improve your communication with your kid, to improve your transitioning, hopefully, there's something that will give you at least another approach or a resource that you might want to check out. There is a lot of good information, and we are all very busy. And so one of the benefits of having, and I listen to teleseminars and podcasts as well, is that I can get information as I'm driving, as I'm commuting, and so books on audio are also very helpful, so I don't have to read the entire book right now to gain some benefit, to find some strategies. And as always, I highly recommend finding an accountability partner or a coach, somebody who can hold you compassionately accountable to make changes or to give you some different perspectives. Because it's very challenging when we're in our own situation to see the big picture all we often see is the immediate situation around us. We see the trees in the forest. Other people, it's like being in a plane or in a forest ranger's tower where you can see the big picture. And a coach, a growth catalyst, a mastermind group can all give you some additional perspective that we're unable to see when we're in it. And that's for me as well. I highly value the coaching team that I have in my life and appreciate the opportunity to serve my clients who work with me in a coaching or accountability capacity. So if you've heard something of benefit, one action that you could try, I encourage you to take advantage of the many resources available and even doing a Google search. So whether it's Well Done Parenting, I apologize for that glitch. I love technology when it works. And so for our last couple minutes of the show, yes, my charger came unplugged, and so, oops, no battery means no communication. So thank you for your patience if you're still with me. So I was saying, we were talking about transitioning, giving yourself permission to slow down, to transition from work to home, to find a strategy that allows you to refocus your time and attention. And the last thing to think about tonight at the end of our time together was from a wonderful program called Becoming a Master Student that we used with the Upward Bound students that I worked with for many years. And it contained power processes. And one of them was to be where you are when you're there and to do what you're doing when you're doing it. So often we're distracted when we're working, we're thinking about family. When we're with our family, we're thinking about work. So maybe the challenge for this week is to find an action, something that you heard, and to work to and focus on really being where you are when you're there and do it. What you're doing when you're doing it. Until next time, stay safe.